in King, and Lila by Joanna Bacon. Oliver Critchfield was played by James Jordan. Henry Adams by Gavin Harrison. Mrs. Schlagman by Janice McKenzie, and Mabel and Ralph by Ailish Simmons and Stephen France. The music was by John Nichols. Spring Storm was an adaptation of the Royal and Derngate Northampton production and was directed by Laurie Sansom. The producer was Jeremy Mortimer.
Spring Storm was first broadcast in the March of 2011, and it'll be available to listen again for the next 7 days via the Radio 3 website. Next week, we've another chance to hear an award-winning playwright David Grigg's sequel to Shakespeare's Macbeth, Dunsinane. Drama on 3 returns to its usual time, too, next Sunday at 8:30, here on Radio 3.
The climax of BBC Radio 3's Baroque Spring. John Elliott Gardiner's Bach Marathon, live from the Royal Albert Hall. 9.5 inspiring hours of music celebrating Johann Sebastian Bach. The day culminates in a performance of the composer's towering choral masterwork, that extraordinary sacred musical collage that Bach assembled in the last years of his life, the B minor Mass. Tomorrow on BBC Radio 3 from 1 o'clock.
This is BBC Radio 3. The time now is 10 o'clock and we're continuing Radio 3's Baroque Spring. It's time for the final part of World Roots and their five-part exploration of Baroque and beyond in Latin America. This week, Lucy Duran is in the high Andes of Bolivia with her guide Juan Carlos Cordero.
This is really something. We've stopped at this extraordinary spot, 4,023 metres above sea level, where in the distance we see Lake Titicaca. Ahead of me there's just this enormous empty plain with the shadows of the clouds racing across it, and in the distance jagged mountains covered in snow. Juan Carlos, you come from around here, don't you, originally, although you live in La Paz?
Yes. Just very near to Titicaca Lake, up in the north, about a couple of hours away from here. My hometown is called Ancoraimes.
When we were driving up here, you were explaining that mountains have a spirit. You have to give them libations and make prayers and... We've got right in front of us a man who is doing exactly that, burning something. Tell us what he's doing.
First of all, we have to tell you that we have stopped in a spot what we call a huaca. A huaca is a sacred place. What they're doing here is they mention the name of every mountain that we are surrounded by, because all of them are the spirits of our ancestors, and all of them are our protectors, and we have to respect them, we have to remember them, we have to mention them in order to have their blessings for our lives and for their family, and that's what they are doing right now.
Cerrito verde, cerrito florido, cerrito verde, cerrito florido, donde cantan las zagales a la vida y al amor, donde cantan las zagales a la vida y al amor.
Juan Carlos Cordero, this is your city. This is La Paz.
Yes, this is where I live, and welcome to the political capital of Bolivia, known as the highest capital in the world.
And it's very high indeed. It's nearly 4,000 meters above sea level, and it's quite difficult breathing and moving around.
Yes, it is true. And because of that, a lot of indigenous people living here. This is the Aymara city of Bolivia, the Aymara indigenous people.
Which is your culture.
Yeah, that is my culture. But also we have a very multicultural presence in here, because in La Paz you will have a culture from the very south, from Tarija, from Santa Cruz, Sucre. Actually, you have the whole Bolivia is concentrated in La Paz.
Well, this is Juan Carlos Cordero. He's one of Bolivia's best musicians. He's a wonderful guitarist, a composer, a teacher, a music researcher. And he used to be the musical director of a group who you might have heard of called Rumiyacta. Juan Carlos, last week on the program, we recorded the Guarayo Indians from the Amazon, as well as a youth orchestra who were playing local music from the Baroque period. And we recorded that in the beautiful Jesuit mission church of San Jose de Chiquitos. Tell us what we have to look forward to this week.
The traditional sound of the pan pipes from a band that's local in La Paz. They play traditional music from the Aymara culture. And then we have a very particular and unique style singing of the Andean woman. You will love that sound. And later on, we're going down to the colonial city, beautiful city of Sucre, where we will be hearing one of the best known groups of Bolivia, the Jujuy Masis.
Juan Carlos, I'm still feeling very dizzy, very out of breath, bit of a headache, extremely tired. Are we going to carry on up the street looking for coca leaves?
Yes. ¿A cómo está la coquita? ¿Puede ser?
How much is your coca leaves? I hasten to add, this is coca leaf for medicinal purposes.
And it's the traditional coca has been used since the Inca Empire. And you see the altitude, the problem with the altitude.
Nearly 4,000 meters,
yes.
Which is very high.
The properties of the coca leaf is that it allows your body to use less oxygen. In the countryside, everybody chews coca, even children.
Okay, well, we have very few days here in La Paz.
Yes.
And we've got a lot to do. We're going to hear an incredible selection of music.
I am too happy that you're here, and I know that our brothers and sisters who are going to share our music with you, they are doing it from the very bottom of their heart.
the unique voice of the Andes, I would say, that very characteristic high-pitched voice. And the singer is Elvira Espejo. The name of her group is Huayna Sirineros, which means the young serenaders. And they play these two instruments. One is a very small charango, which they call jisca charango. And the other one is like a big fat guitar with 10 strings. And the song that we just heard was called Cecilia. Elvira, I understand you speak some English. What language are you singing in?
It's in Aymara language, and it's very highland songs and the very traditional ones.
So it's a song in praise of women and the dress of women?
Yeah, women dresses and the town and the paisage, like that.
The landscape.
Yeah, landscape.
Are you Aymara?
I speak two languages. My mom speaks just Aymara, one language. And my father speaks two languages, Aymara and the Quechua. And the third one is Spanish.
This voice, the way that you sing, Elvira, tell us about that.
This voice comes from my tradition. My grandmother, she was a singer for tradition ceremonies, like house music.
Music for building houses.
Yeah, houses are the building music. She sings very poetic. It's very Andean music.
Why do you sing so high up with that little tiny voice at the back of your throat?
It's like the flauta, condors.
A flute made out of the condor bone.
Yes.
And it sounds like that.
Yeah.
Can you just sing something on your own? The way you sing, it's imitating the sound of the wind in the highlands,
yes,
the wind in the mountains.
Highland, wind on the mountains, yeah.
And the sound
and
of the condor.
Condors and like this.
Ah. Well, you say that your mother tongue is Aymara, but your father's tongue is Quechua.
Quechua.
So I would like to hear a Quechua song.
Flor de rosa.
The rose.
Pierde el color.
The rose that loses its color, that
como
fades, its color fades.
Yeah, color fades, and the color is same to love.
What you're saying is that the roses lose their color with the sunlight of the day,
mm-hmm.
just in the same way that the youth lose their love.
Yeah.
This is Elvira Espejo with her song La Rosa que Pierde el Color. But not sung in Spanish, sung in Quechua. What's the title in Quechua?
Rosas y quita color tapis pierden.
Thank you very much, Elvira.
And
thanks to your two musicians, the Huayna Sirineros.
Yeah, gracias a los jóvenes.
Thanks to the young men.
Do
Well, Juan Carlos, back in 2006, World Roots went to Peru, and we recorded many different kinds of music in the country. And one of the ones that has always stayed with me was the music of the Pan Pipes, which were from Puno on the shores of Lake Titicaca, which is where we are right now. But we're on the other side. We're on the Bolivian side of the border. We never made it up to Puno. We recorded that group down in Lima. So it's very, very exciting for me to be here by Lake Titicaca and to know that we're going to be hearing the Pan Pipes. You're going to be introducing us to a group of Pan Pipe players here in Bolivia. First of all, you are from that culture, from the culture of Pan Pipes. You're Aymara.
Puno is also Aymara. Titicaca actually connects us from Peru and Bolivia, and families go to Peru or families go to Bolivia. And they say that the Pan Pipe origins were somewhere around that area. In our communities, people will play this instrument not the whole year round. They play it on the dry season, which is June, July, August. That's related to the season. It's related to the agriculture cycle here in Bolivia. And they say, if we need some more rain on dry season, we need to play this instrument that will try to bring more energy to make the land be
more fertile.
Yes. And on November, December, they use another instrument. They are not allowed to play the Pan Pipe anymore. They change to a choquela or a flute, which is like a flute, the famous flute that you hear on Simon and Garfunkel. And they believe that that music actually helps the flowers to have more fruits, you know, like potato, more potatoes. And so instruments are part of the community. Instruments are part of the way that our people see the life.
Thank you.
Well, Juan Carlos, when we were on the shores of the Lake Titicaca, you were telling me about the music that accompanies the agricultural cycle amongst the Aymara peoples of this area of the north of Bolivia. Here we are with a group who play precisely this kind of music. We're not by Lake Titicaca anymore. Now we're actually in the historic center of La Paz. We're in this beautiful old museum around a courtyard, and the museum is a museum of musical instruments. Tell me about this group, whose music we're listening to.
Okay, we were listening to this group, and their name, Moxa Uma, two Aymara words. Moxa is sweet, and Uma is water. They are actually celebrating 33 years of working together, showing the music from the Aymara area. But what I really like of them is like they really want to keep the tradition. They really want to show what the identity of the instrument and what the meanings of the music means for our people. And they want to share that. And that's what I really like from them.
So will you introduce me to the leader, please?
Heber Fiorillo, he is one of the directors, because there's no one only director. There are several who take the lead, but he's been from the very beginning. Heber Fiorillo from La Paz, Bolivia. Hola, Heber, ¿cómo estás?
¿Cómo estás, Juan Carlos?
The piece that we've just heard, Herbert, is called the Moceño. Which time of year do you play this kind of music?
Este instrumento está derivado a la época mojada.
This is music that is played during the rainy season. You have the dry season and the wet season. The rainy season in Aymara, we call it Hallu Pacha. Hallu is rain and Pacha is space, the place.
Bueno, ahora hemos terminado de interpretar.
This music really belongs to this season. People are getting very, very happy because harvest time is coming, and they're giving thanks for what Mother Earth is offering.
Why create this group? Are you trying to keep Aymara traditions alive here in this city?
El grupo se ha formado por jóvenes en ese entonces que tenían la iniciativa de mantener y preservar la, la cultura boliviana.
There were young brothers that wanted to have this group, and they wanted to preserve and to also teach others how to play those instruments in the city. So they have created this cultural center, Moxa Uma, in order to also teach younger boys and girls to respect to the culture, to preserve the culture, and also to teach others how to play these instruments.
That's good news. I'm happy to hear that. I guess, Ebert, the sound that I think of when I think of Aymara music, the music from around Lake Titicaca, is the sound of the panpipes. So I'm hoping that you're going to play us some panpipe music.
Bueno, son instrumentos de origen callahuaya. Está en la provincia de Bautista Saavedra. Es una región donde este instrumento tiene mucho, mucho, mucho valor.
Yes, they are going to play panpipe for you and for everybody. This instrument belongs to the dry season. It's an instrument that comes from the region where the callahuayas are. Callahuaya, it comes from two words, colla, which is medicine, and guaya, who is carrying the medicine. So callahuaya are our Andean healers. The music also heals the soul, and they're going to do this very traditional rhythm that is used in this ceremonial occasion to heal the spirit, and the rhythm of this music is called cantu. Thank you.
Right, I'm going to take several very deep breaths now. And the reason why I'm doing that is because we are about to climb up a very, very steep hill so that we can get a view of this extremely important ancient site, Tiwanaku. Now, Juan Carlos, you have a big advantage over me because you are from here. Mm-hmm. So as we go up, you're going to talk to me and tell me where we are and tell me about this ancient civilization, which was before the time of the Incas. But let's go. And while you hear me huffing and puffing, Juan Carlos is going to be talking away.
Yeah, we are northwest of La Paz, between the city of La Paz and the Titicaca Lake. And this is some ruins that were buried for many years. And the civilization that built this place were called the Tiahuanacotas. There is a lot of researching right now about what happened to that civilization, because they disappeared suddenly, even before the Spanish came here.
Really? So this site, Tiahuanacu, dates back to 1000 BC, something like that.
Yes, yes indeed. When the Inca Empire was built, they call it the Tahuantinsuyo. Tahua is four in Quechua. Suyu is side.
And so this was one of the four sides of the Inca Empire.
Which was the Colla Suyu. That means the place where the medicine is growing, the healing land in some ways. Also, they say that some of the people that were living here were taken to Cusco to build the city of stones that are in there, like the Machu Picchu and also in Cusco sites.
And you can see that in this beautiful wall, this magnificent wall. Every couple of meters, there's one very large stone which rises above the height of the wall and seems to support everything.
And there is no stone quarry anywhere around here.
No stone quarry.
No.
I suppose that would reinforce the idea, the somewhat fanciful idea, that it's extraterrestrials who built this place, because where did they get the stones from?
It's very close to Titicaca Lake. Some of them, they say this was a harbor, because the lake used to be up to here as well. However, thing happens here, Tiwanaku is really important for our culture.
I think we better get down,
honestly,
because we're going to be rained on seriously in 1 minute. In every city of Spanish-speaking Latin America, there's always a square with a statue of Simón Bolívar, who was the great liberator, the person who led South America to independence. But this place is really special. In fact, I've even got goosebumps because this is the very spot where Simón Bolívar declared independence. In fact, they say it was the cry of freedom for South America. This city, Sucre, I have to say, is pretty stunning. I mean, it's a white city. It's an old colonial city. It's beautifully preserved. The reason why you brought us to Sucre, Juan Carlos, is because there are many celebrated musical traditions here, and it's a very old university town. One of the groups that we're going to hear is an estudiantina.
Yes, they are called Destacamento Chuquisaca, after this region. There are about 10 of them playing guitar, charango, mandolin, or flutes, and they're very joyful. They're going to play for us carnival music.
Cuequita de la posguerra, se va la primerita. Del Chaco, se va a la segunda. Ojos para llorar mi partida, no llores mientras la vida deja un minuto al amor, no llores mientras la vida deja un minuto al amor, ese minuto de vida a la orilla de la muerte tiene el encanto de verte.
I'm not sure whether I should cry or laugh. I'm very touched and moved by it, but it's also such joyful music and not something I really expected to find here in Sucre, in southern Bolivia. This is a group called the Estudiantina Destacamento Chuquisaca, Chuquisaca being the region where we are, this region where Sucre, this city, is located. And the leader of the group is Abel Hurtado, who is dressed slightly bizarrely, in what looks to me like a 1950s U.S. Army uniform. Abel, why are you dressed like a soldier?
Entonces, en Sucre ha habido la guerra del Chaco.
There was the war against Paraguay, Chaco war, because of the oil. That was around 1940, more or less. A big number of soldiers were called destacamento. So what the group is doing is to give like an honor to the soldiers who went to that war.
Because in fact, the piece that you just played for us was dedicated to the heroes of the Chaco War.
La canción que hemos escuchado, la cueca destacamento Chuquisaca.
Well, actually, this cueca has been written by the soldiers who belong to destacamento Chuquisaca, and they wrote this song that also has another name. It's called Infierno Verde, and that is
green
like green hell.
Hell,
because that was how they felt when they were in the war, in that very hot area of the Chaco.
Abel, what exactly is an estudiantina?
La estudiantina viene de Europa, el término estudiantina.
Well, actually, a estudiantina, it comes from Europe. Usually, it was the university students who made a band in Europe. One of the first universities founded in this part of America was La Universidad San Francisco Javier, which is based in Sucre.
Tell me about the instruments that are part of your group. There are so many different kinds of string instruments in your group, including the great big bass guitar, which has such a wonderful sound.
Oficialmente participan como instrumentos estarían las guitarras.
Well, the instrument they use are guitars. The charango, which is the tiny armadillo 10 string instrument, and the mandolin, a vihuela, and the bass.
El bajo. En instrumentos de viento están las quenas.
They use also the quena, which are the Andean flutes, and they use no percussion at all. All of them have to sing.
Abel, when you were doing the sound check, you were playing a fabulous song, and I hope you're going to do that for us now. And I caught a little part of it, which was about two things that the woman who is going to love me has to have. She has to have a spoon and she has to have a plate to feed me.
Bueno, es una melodía que hemos rescatado de Villa Serrano. Villa Serrano se encuentra a 4 horas de Sucre.
This is a song from Villa Serrano. Villa Serrano is a town that is about 4 hours away from Sucre. For Abel, this is a very important town because it was the place where Mauro Núñez, a very famous charango player, was born. And a very important school of the charango has been developed around Chuquisaca. At the same time, he's proud to say that the biggest charango has been made in Villa Serrano. And actually, Abel Hurtado was responsible of making the strings for the charango. It's not only big, but you can play that instrument.
And it's in the Guinness Book of Records, he says.
The biggest charango in the world.
Well, from this very beautiful colonial city, Sucre, in southern Bolivia, this is the music of this place. This is Estudiantina Destacamento Chuquisaca with their song, Ajay Si, Ajay No.
Debe tener
la mujer.
Well, that gorgeous piece of music was called Ajay Si, Ajay No, and it was performed by 11 members of the Estudiantina Destacamento Chuquisaca, right here in Sucre, in this beautiful old two-story colonial building, which is the cultural center of one of Bolivia's best-known groups called Los Masis. Juan Carlos, we're in this magnificent room, which is filled with musical instruments and lots of platinum albums, which I guess are of Los Masis.
Yes, they are one of the best representation of Bolivian culture. And at the same time, they help communities around Sucre, not only in a cultural way, but also social helps as well. So I'm very proud to present you to Roberto Saunero, the director of Centro Cultural Los Masis.
Roberto, delighted to meet you.
I am the one that is pleased to meet you.
Roberto, I know you're going to play a piece for us which is deep indigenous music. Tell me about it.
Huayno Yampara. It comes from a culture that comes from the Quechua line. And this type of music we play for carnival, where we start to collect the crops and where we say thanks to Pachamama.
Pachamama being
Mother
Earth?
Yeah, Mother Earth has given us good crops. And when you hear it all together, it has a different harmony. It's not like in the West culture harmony. It's a harmony that comes from the culture of the Inca time. The music and the text always has to do with the environment.
The Andean landscape.
Yes.
So let's hear Los Masis in their cultural center in Sucre, led by Roberto Saunero, with the piece Pujiay.
Ari, Pujiayta, Tusurikuna.
What you just heard was the pretty extraordinary sound of Los Masis playing a collection of Quechua flutes from the high Andes, one of which I've never seen the likes of before. And Roberto Saonero was the player of that instrument. It's like a giant flute with a very, very long mouthpiece. What is it about this instrument? Tocoro.
Our forefathers, they have always been creating different instruments. And for me, it was also a big surprise when I met the tocoro and I have heard all the acoustic possibilities that it had.
On the wall in front of us are a series of different kinds of charango, this yes. wonderful little guitar.
Here in the center, we try to make a collection of the most important charangos in Bolivia. Our instruments are community instruments.
And you're going to play for us another piece of music, which this time it'll feature the charango.
Yeah, it will speak of the family of charangos. And it's very nice how our forefathers, they have joined, they have built up the different measures in order to make beautiful music.
What is the name of the piece?
Master Mauro Núñez, he has called it charangología.
So it's like a showcase for the charango.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think that is a wonderful way to end World Roots trip around Bolivia. Thank you, Roberto Saonero, and thanks to Los Masis for inviting us to your beautiful cultural center here in Sucre, for playing us this wonderful music. And Juan Carlos Cordero, thank you so much for taking us around the country and introducing us to this very, very powerful, very moving indigenous music, which still continues.
Well, you've seen it's very close related with the community, it's very close related with the culture, but also it's very close related with the nature, with the Mother Earth, with our Pachamama. So we want to share what we have with everyone as we are sharing our culture and to have a better future. I mean, everybody has to work together in harmony.
Thank you. pueblo del Serrano, los sueños se cantan alegres. En mi lindo pueblo del Serrano, los sueños se cantan alegres. Con charango y quena, serranito, le doy mi cariño bailando. Con charango y quena, serranito, le doy mi cariño bailando.
Was music from the Andes of Bolivia. World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran. The programme was produced by James Parkin.
Wagner 200 on BBC Radio 3. The Metropolitan Opera's new ring cycle, live from New York, beginning with Das Rheingold. Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and in high-definition sound online. The time now is 11 o'clock and it's time for this week's edition of Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Kevin Legendre.
The new Juju Man by jazz vocal supergroup The Manhattan Transfer with their unique take on the Miles Davis classic Tutu. And today I'll be looking at the apparent resurgence of vocal groups in jazz in the UK and the US. In the company of writer and broadcaster Bob Sinfield, I'll be investigating the influence of acts such as the New York Voices and Take Six, who've drawn their inspiration from bands like The Manhattan Transfer and the legendary Lambert Hendrickson Ross. Also on the programme is our second instalment of concert music by the Quentin Collins and Brandon Allen Quartet, recorded at the 10th anniversary celebrations as part of last year's Scarborough Jazz Festival. Let's get things started with something brand new from pianist Alex Wilson, who's celebrating his 9th release, which is also his first acoustic piano trio album. Here's the track, Calice. Thank you. We're definitely up and running with music like that. It was Alex Wilson on piano with Davide Montivani on double bass and Frank Tonto on drums, taken from their new CD simply called The Alex Wilson Trio. I'm pleased to say that Alex will be a guest on a forthcoming jazz lineup, and his concert will be one that we're recording at this year's Steinway Piano Festival at the Pizza Express Jazz Club in Dean Street, London. Brand new on the Babel label, but much more chilled out, here's something from London-based contemporary pianist Bruno Heinen. His latest CD is a tribute to the highly influential German composer Karlheinz Stockhausen. And in fact, both of Bruno's parents worked with the master himself. Heinen's sextet comprises James Alsop on bass clarinet, Jack Davis on trumpet, Tom Challenger on tenor sax, Andrea De Bazzi on bass, and John Scott on drums, with both Scott and Heinen also in charge of original Stockhausen music boxes. There are 12 pieces on the CD, each named after a zodiac star sign. This is Gemini.